We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. By now, you probably know that email marketing is near and dear to my heart. It is a stronger marketing tool than any social media platform. It's less risky than paid advertising, and it gives you a chance to speak human to human to your customers. My guest today is Jessica Totillo-Koster of E-Commerce Badassery, and you are going to want a notebook with you as you listen today because she provided some really great examples that you can leverage. Jessica is an e-commerce and email marketing strategist. She works with boutique owners and product entrepreneurs. She supports scrappy female entrepreneurs with actionable steps and strategies to scale their e-commerce businesses. After over 20 years in retail, owning her own brick and mortar boutique, and 3 years as the only employee of a seven-figure e-commerce store, she's now sharing everything she's learned the hard way so that you don't have to. Today, we are talking about how email marketing fits into your customer journey. Everything from attracting the right people to your email list, nurturing them once they join, and then ongoing engagement so that they can continue to purchase from you. But before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to tell you about two email marketing trainings that are available inside of our Proof to Product Labs community. The first one focuses on email welcome sequences and how to engage with people once they join your email list. I included a template for how many emails to send, what to say, and when to send them, and I shared strategies for both wholesale and retail outreach. The second class will help you map out a year's worth of emails in an hour so that you are clear on your content pillars and you can create reusable templates that will make writing and sending your emails super easy. To gain access to both of these programs, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs and enroll in my 12-month group coaching program. We have all sorts of amazing contents and training in there, and the doors are always open so that you can get the help you need when you need it most. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, let's dive into email marketing strategies with Jessica of E-Commerce Badassery. Hey, Jessica, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thanks so much for having me, Katie. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited too. You know, I have really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit through Clubhouse, and it is such an interesting platform. And as someone that loves to learn through audio, it's been a fun way for me to casually connect with people and also just listen into really rewarding conversations while I'm doing tours around the house or folding laundry or whatever it is that I'm doing. How are you liking Clubhouse?
Oh my gosh. So I love Clubhouse. It's been amazing. It's the people that you meet, right? You end up in a room on a stage with them. You have conversations with these people you never would have met otherwise.
Totally.
I'm learning so much. I'm giving so much value. Like, it makes me so happy to do that. But I'm still working on the boundaries.
Oh, yes. Okay. So it's funny you bring this up, and this is so not what our show is about today, but we're going to go off on this tangent. I joined, I think, in early December. And for December, I was all in. I was listening all the time. I wasn't always speaking, but I was when I could. It was just hard when I had kids around and stuff. So I'd listen, I'd contribute when I could. And then I kind of hit a wall in January. I don't know. There was like an influx of people that joined, and I started seeing my hallway in Clubhouse changed quite a bit. It was all,
yes.
It was all the $1 million marketing things and this and that. I'm like, and it kind of deflated my high on Clubhouse a little bit. But I've been back on the last couple of weeks, just kind of scoping and seeing what people are doing, trying to follow different and new people that I, like you said, I've been following a lot of people. I had no idea they were even out there. I didn't realize that they had these different areas of expertise. I've found people that are coming on the podcast now or we're collaborating in different ways and I'm speaking to their communities or they're speaking to mine. And it's been so exciting and invigorating for me.
Yeah, it's been an amazing way to connect with people. I went through that same thing. There was that influx and for anyone who's listening, who's on Clubhouse, the people that you follow populate your hallway. Yeah. And so even if they go in rooms that are completely unrelated, you're going to start seeing those rooms. So honestly, there's this one particular guy. I really wanted to follow him. I wanted to hear what he had to say when he spoke, but he was going into like a bunch of weird rooms, and maybe because he was just trying to see like, what is this all about?
Yeah.
But then my hallway got flooded. So I had to just unfollow him. But if you can just like make your way through that, you're going to find so much value there. You just have to be really intentional with your time.
Absolutely. The boundaries are something you got to keep a close eye on for sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, again, that wasn't why I was bringing you on the show, but let's share your backstory with our listeners. Tell us about your journey in the e-commerce, retail, and product space. How did you get started?
So I used to sleep in my new shoes as a little girl. Every time I got a pair of new shoes, I never wanted to take them off. And so there was really no surprise when my very first job in retail, like as soon as I was old enough, I just wanted to be surrounded by the product. I really loved the product. And then I ended up going to school for fashion merchandising. I owned my own brick and mortar boutique in New York before I moved to California. This is what I do. It's just kind of in my blood at this point. And then when I moved to LA, I started working for a retailer as marketing for their brick and mortar. And at the time, we had an e-commerce website, but it was just like a white label that we got commission off of. We didn't really do anything with. And we decided, okay, let's bring e-commerce back in-house.
Yeah.
And I had some e-com experience. So I was the only employee for the first 3 years in that division.
Oh my gosh.
You guys can't see the video, but Katie's face. Yeah, it was crazy. And we were already an established brand. So we were doing 7 figures.
Yeah.
And I just had a part-time person that packed and shipped orders. So I did everything, buying, marketing, email, affiliate, content, social, all the things.
Jessica, that's the job. Okay, just to be clear for everyone listening, that's a job of like 7 people for a brand that large.
Yes, exactly. Easily. I cried a lot at that job. Yeah. But I wouldn't take any of it back because I learned, like I knew stuff about e-com before, but I know a lot more now.
Yeah.
And
that was a crash course for sure.
Yeah. And I got lucky because I got to work with very high level consultants, right? The people that the average entrepreneur can't afford to work with. Mm-hmm. And they really fast tracked my knowledge. And ultimately, by year three, we had a new CTO, a chief technology officer, come in. And he was like, guys, she cannot be the only employee. Like, this is crazy. And we started hiring people. I was like, oh my gosh,
goodness.
Thank you so much. You saved my life. So I really got to focus on the marketing side of it, which is what I really love, and dive really, really deep into email. And like I said, I wouldn't take any of it back. I loved what I did, but I didn't really love who I did it for. Mm-hmm. Which that's, I think, a typical corporate story, right? And it
or,
was actually,
I don't mean to interject here, but yeah. Or you're really good at it, but you don't necessarily love the work you're doing too.
Doing
that was kind of my corporate story of like, I was really good at the work, but I didn't love the industry. I didn't love, you know,
yes.
That world, the corporate world, but go on, sorry.
Yes, that's totally another side of it too. And back when MailChimp and Shopify broke up, mm-hmm. right? And the entrepreneurial space was like going crazy. People on Shopify didn't know what to do. And I just started talking to people in Facebook groups about Klaviyo because I had already been using it for 2 years at that point. I really loved it. It was so amazing. And they started reaching out to me. And I was like, all right, yeah, let me help these people. Kind of see what happens. And it just started to snowball. So e-commerce Bedassery was an accident. And it was like the best thing that's, aside from marrying my husband, right? In
right.
case he listens. It's the best thing that really happened. And it's been super amazing to give the value to that middle stage entrepreneur, right? I think there's a lot out there for the beginner. I think there's a lot out there for the super high level, you know, run Facebook ads and you'll be a millionaire tomorrow. It's really easy to run an e-com business. That's not true, guys.
We're being sarcastic.
Yeah. So it's to be able to, you know, serve that female entrepreneur that scrappy person started, you know, their business in their shower or at their kitchen table.
Yep.
And now they just need to know the back end of running a retail business. Yeah. And I love to support them in that.
I love this because those are my people too. You know, it's slightly different in that I'm focused on more of the wholesale side of things, but it's that same, I have that same passion for our community. So I love hearing you talk about it and how you describe what they're going through and their problems and all that. So thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, let's dive into some email marketing stuff now, because I really want to look at the customer journey with you. Let's talk about the beginning of the customer journey. What are some different strategies that e-commerce brands can use to entice people to sign up for their email lists? And I'm talking about things other than just offering a discount code here,
if you don't mind. Yeah, for sure. So one of the, what's kind of, I feel like it's getting more popular right now, and it's not only good for the subscriber, but it's good for you as the business, is some type of quiz. So one, it's going to help the customer get to the product that's right for them faster, right? Less clicks that you can get them to the right product, the better. But for you, it's insane marketing research, right? You are actually having them tell you, what are they struggling with? What are they hoping to get out of your product? And that is all data that you can then have inside of your email marketing platform to use later for segmentation, specialty content, etc. So if you, depending upon what your product is, quizzes can be really easy. Like if you're a beauty brand, that's really easy. I don't know, if you're a stationery brand, how would you create a quiz about that? Maybe, let's say you've got, maybe you have some snarky stuff. Maybe you have some more cutesy stuff. And so you're trying to get them to the right collection of products. So just think about what conversation you would have with them in person.
Okay. So I've been looking at quizzes for a while. I've seen them used on the service side, in the service world, for a very long time, and I've seen them done really well. Do you have any examples that you could point to on the product side where people have done them well? Like, what kind of questions are they asking, and how many questions should we put in something like this? Like, I don't know. I haven't seen it done very well on the product side, but I also haven't been looking as closely. Or maybe I just haven't been fed as many ads on that side. I don't know.
Yes. So Beard Brand has a quiz, and they've had a couple. I think their original one was, what type of beardsman are you? They have a new one that I cannot remember exactly what it is, but it's more product focused of getting you to the right product. Williams Sonoma actually does one as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Where they, you know, they ask you kind of, what kind of cook are you? Are you a beginner, middle, advanced? So they can get you to the right tools for where you're at in your journey. And even, this is not product specific, but Airbnb has a quiz too of, you know, what your destination should be like. So there are definitely a few out there, and I have some others that I can send to you. You can stick in the show notes for everyone to go check out.
Yeah, we would love that. I think it's interesting because the quizzes are really truly an experience, right? Like, we can make them, when we talk about quizzes, I don't want people that are listening who haven't looked at this concept to think it's just a survey. You know, it's a survey of who are you and what do you want. We really want to make them creative and fun, engaging, and enhance the experience of who you are as a brand and kind of bringing them into that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that I see when it comes to like communicating with your customer online is we overthink this a lot, right? And we think like, okay, because it's online, it has to be this specific way. It doesn't. It just needs to be the same way you would talk to someone in person if you had a brick and mortar or if you were at a show. What would that conversation look like? And just translate it into text on the screen. That's all you got to do, right? So you're still going to, and I say this with email as well, and we can get more into that, is when I had my brick and mortar and all the years I worked in retail, someone comes into my store, I'm not saying, hey, do you want to buy this?
Right.
I'm saying, hey, how are you? Oh my God, I totally love your shoes. Where did you get those? Can you believe this weather? Oh, are you going to lunch later? Like, right? You're just going to have like a human interaction with them. And you want to do the same thing on the internet.
Okay, so we've talked about quizzes. We've talked about ways that you can engage your audience to add them to your email list so that you're welcoming them into your sphere, right? Your online sphere. Once they're on your list, welcome sequences. How many do you recommend? Like, what are you seeing in terms of best practices there?
For sure. So I usually start with a base of 3 to 5 emails, depending upon what that journey with them is going to look like. Mm-hmm. If you are using a quiz, for example, right, you may need to split up that content based on the results that that user got. So that's something to keep in mind, right? It's not a cookie cutter message. We really want to personalize this to them.
Yeah.
But if you're giving a discount for a sign up, right, that first email, for instance, you're just going to deliver the discount. Make it really easy for them. They ask for the discount, give it to them, let them go buy. Then in the next emails, I'm going to introduce the founder. I'm going to introduce the company. And then in the 3rd to 4th-ish email, I'm going to ask them to update their preferences. That's one of the keys with email marketing. And look, if you're just starting out and you have like 100 people on your list, don't worry about this yet. But as you start to grow, having them just tell you what type of content they want to receive is going to just make your life so much easier and make your list last longer, right? Because you're going to get natural churn. That's just a thing. And then also, if you've got that discount, now I'm going to send them a reminder if they haven't purchased.
I love that. I'm obviously running a service-based business, but my welcome sequence is similar in that we have these multiple ways people can join the list. We deliver whatever the promise was from whichever method they chose to join us. We do have some then standard welcome where it's about who we are, our values, and what we teach. And then we ask them, like you're talking about, to segment themselves. So I say to them, where are you in your business journey? And we have like 3 different options for them to click, which then sends them down another path. And I call it our welcome sequence V2 or something like that, very sophisticated around here. And then that's where they go into a second set of onboarding welcome sequence emails where it's specific to where they are in their business. So for product-based business owners, you know, it might be about their life circumstances of where they are, depending on what kind of products you sell. It could be, you know, what type of home they live in or geographically where they live. Like your questions are and how you segment them are going to be very different based upon what your business is and what you sell. So I just want to share that as another example for people.
Yeah, for sure. And I've always used this example of like Old Navy, right? Because I get a bunch of Old Navy emails and they sell men's, women's, children's clothing. Yep. Well, I have no children. I have no nieces or nephews at this point. I have no children to buy anything for. So if you keep sending me emails about kids' clothes, I'm never going to open those. Yeah. I'm not going to buy them.
You're out.
Right? So yeah, I mean, it's completely irrelevant to me. So the more specific you can get with your people, the more valued they are going to feel, like you actually care, you're paying attention. And that's really all any of us want, right? Is that people actually care about us.
Totally. Hey friends, when the night is quiet and everyone's asleep in my house, one of my favorite things to do is go and read your reviews on Apple Podcast. I know that sounds completely dorky, but I love reading your feedback and I love hearing how the show is impacting your life and your business. So thank you to everyone that has left a review. I wanted to share one with you tonight. It's from Shelley Schmidt. She says, "This podcast has been so helpful to me since I discovered it last year. Katie is full of amazing information for product-based business owners like me, and she always brings on amazing guests who have great knowledge and experiences to share. I look forward to listening every Tuesday and frequently dive into the archives to listen to past episodes when I need help with a specific topic. This podcast is such a great supplement to Katie's Labs community and her Paper Camp course. I love that it gives me an opportunity to learn more about new brands and businesses as well. I highly recommend." Well, Shelley, thank you so much for taking the time to write that review. It really makes me happy. I'm glad the podcast has been helpful for you and that you've been a member of our community as well. If you are listening regularly to the show, I ask that you take just a few minutes out of your day to give us a 5-star rating and write a review. I not only love reading them, but it does help draw more people in to discover our show, which is always appreciated. To leave your review and 5-star rating, head over to Apple Podcasts to share your thoughts with us. And I love what you said about the human to human. I mean, we need to talk to people as if they're human on a more, even if we're sending an email to our entire list, mm-hmm. we want to speak to them as if it's directly you to me, you know, like that's really important too. Okay. So they're on our list. How do we push them closer to the finish line, so to speak, of hitting that buy button? What can we do on a consistent basis to communicate with our audience and get them to purchase eventually?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one, it depends. It always depends, right? That's always my answer. Well, it depends. It depends on your product. It depends on all this stuff. But
that's business, though. Here's some ideas. Yeah.
For sure. One of the things that I like to think about is, why wouldn't they buy from you? What's going to make them hesitate? What are their objections going to be? And how do you overcome them in email before they even have them?
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example of a client I just worked with recently. She has a DIY make your own polish kit, right? So it comes with the base and then pigments, and you mix it all up yourself.
That's cool.
And she had it was an in-person experience. It was a brick and mortar. You would come in and do parties, right? So she's there leading the class, and now she's boxing it up because she had to shut down. But people are afraid. What if I mess it up? They're afraid that they're not going to be able to do it. And so there's a lot of hesitation for them to make the purchase. So we focus the majority of her messaging around the fact that you can't mess it up, right? We created content to say, you can't mess it up because you can always fix it. You can always undo what you did. And now she's creating videos to show them, this is what happened when I messed up. And this is how I fix it, to like instill more confidence in the customer. So you really have to think about, what does the customer need to make the buying decision for your product? And it can sound negative to focus on that, right? But that's what's going to hold people up, and you're not there to hold their hand in person.
Yeah. I love that, because again, you're pushing those barriers out of the way and you're clearing the space for them to go straight to buy more from you, you know, to increase that cart value, to keep coming back for more. In your opinion, which is more important, customer acquisition, getting that first sale in the door, or customer retention, keeping them coming back for more?
Okay. So as an email marketer, my instinct is to always say retention, retention, right? Because email. Because it is really powerful. If you're not doing email, do now. This is your subliminal message.
Please do email. Not so subliminal. Go. Yes.
But it depends on where you're at in your business, right? The earlier in your business, the more you have to focus on acquisition. The further down the line, the more you want to focus on retention. I would say never go less than 60% of your efforts on retention. If you think about how you're breaking up your time frame, right? Because here's the thing. The first sale is the hardest one to get.
Yeah.
Right? The second one's a little bit easier. The third one a little bit easier than that. And I find that once you get them to make that third purchase, like, they're your customer if you take care of them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to spend more. They're going to tell their friends. They're going to be your brand ambassadors. So it's really important to nurture that relationship. But here's the other thing you have to consider is, how often is your customer coming back to buy from you? If you sell mattresses, well, you need to be focused on acquisition all the time.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
If you sell, think about the wedding industry. Why is the wedding industry, everything in weddings is so expensive? Because ideally, you're only going to come to them once. Mm-hmm. So they have to get every last dollar out of you possible. If you are a consumable product or something that people come back to every couple of months, well, then you really want to focus on that retention piece.
Yeah. That's a really good differentiator that I hadn't thought of. But yeah, how often are they coming back from you? How often do they need your products?
Mm-hmm.
And replacing those products too. You talked about loving on people and, you know, keeping them coming back for more. What are some strategies that you utilize there?
The first thing I do is dig into the post-purchase experience. because just because you got the sale, like, your job is not done,
right?
You still have a lot of work to do. So not only the how long does it take you to get it out the door? What does the packaging look like? You have all of that stuff, but you also actually have the email piece of that beyond just the order confirmation and the shipping notifications. Mm-hmm. So depending on your product, of course, I always have some sort of post-purchase educational-ish email flow. And we'll use the same nail example, okay, right? We need education around this. There's user error using this product. And so we've got our initial email is from the founder and it's just text-based. So it looks like she sat down at her computer and wrote it, thanking them, supporting her small business. We tell more about her story. And it's a little bit of a different spin than what's in the welcome, right? So it's not duplicated, but we're still just reiterating that because I will tell you, you can't repeat yourself too much.
Right.
Because people don't really read stuff, right? Or it doesn't sink in. So we tell her story again. And part of that story is the brick and mortar to online pivot she had to make in the pandemic, mm-hmm, because people can relate to that. And ultimately you need, when marketing, right, is you need to pull on the heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah.
People buy with emotion and justify with logic. So if you can create that emotional connection, they're going to really buy into you, which is what you're trying to do. Anywho, so then we go into the education piece, and this is where you can get really fancy depending on your product assortment. So what we did for her is we actually have dynamic content. So she's got these different color kits, and each kit has its own like recipes and videos and things like that. So we have dynamic content based on what they bought, where we're sending them to a different place. That's and cool. Here's all the tools and resources you're going to need when you get your kit. And when we set that up, it was right before the holiday, which was like perfect timing. She got so much feedback, people replying saying, thank you so much. This is so helpful.
That is cool.
And if you have someone replying to your email marketing, like, you've done it right, my friend.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. My mind just went a little bit crazy, which is why I started jotting things down. And I want to share these examples with our listeners real quick. So if you're doing gift wrap, for example, maybe you do some tutorials of different ways that you can use that gift wrap to wrap presents. You know, there's a lot of cool ways you can do that. That could be in your follow-up. Maybe you're selling greeting cards and maybe you can show them how to write a letter to somebody, you know, whether it's a sympathy or a birthday or whatever, you can kind of give them a template to use to write a strong letter. If you're selling planners or notebooks or notepads or something, you could do like a bullet journal tutorial, or you could talk about how to lay out your planner. Like, think of how people are using your products and how you can enhance their experience. Because Jessica, I love that example with the nail polish. I think that is phenomenal. And I just wanted to kind of expand upon that for our listeners in case they have other ideas or things they want to brainstorm there.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you're not sure, right, go look at your customer service inquiries. What questions are people coming back to you with? Maybe you have some products that didn't get great reviews. Well, why didn't it get a great review? So an example from my previous job, our product was a little bit more technical, right? There was a little bit of a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And we had this one particular product that was like new in the space and it was revolutionary, right? It was this amazing thing. Everybody loved it, but we were getting all of these poor reviews. Mm. And when we read through them, we realized it was user error. And we did not do a good enough job of showing them how to use it. So mm-hmm. we updated the post-purchase experience for that product to make sure that they could have a good experience with it. And when you're thinking about post-purchase, like at a super base level, what do they need to know and understand to have a good experience with your product so that they come back and leave a good review?
Absolutely. My mind is going crazy with different ideas right now. I need to simmer myself down. You're seeing me in action. I'm like, yes, this makes so much sense. All right, let's shift a little bit. What mistakes are you seeing product-based businesses make when it comes to their customer journey or even their email process through this customer journey?
Making it more about themselves than the customer. and not being consistent with email. If I just like boil it down to two things,
those are great.
Obviously, there's like, there's like little things that come out underneath that, right? But that is kind of those high level overarching ideas. So I want to talk about the email consistency for a minute, because I know a lot of small business owners get hung up on this.
Very much so.
You are not going to annoy your customer.
Thank you.
And if they are annoyed, they are not your customer. So I know you feel like you have said the same thing a million times. And you know what? You probably have. But that doesn't mean anyone heard it a million times. Only you have heard it that much. Yeah. So don't be afraid to just keep telling your story, bringing new twists on your story, right? And creating that connection with your customer. And if you can, at a minimum, send email once a week and just be consistent with it. And maybe you just know every Tuesday, I'm going to send an email and you're going to kind of cycle through the different types of content that you create, just like you would approach social media with content pillars, right? Yep. You're going to do the same thing in your email.
And use the other content.
Content.
Repurpose the content. Yes.
Yes, because not everyone follows you on all of the platforms. Yep. They just don't. And I'm going to give this example. So recently from being on Clubhouse, right, I'm getting a lot of more traction on my Instagram, which I admittedly am not consistent with because that's not where I get my clients from, right? But it's growing. So I did an introduction post. And in that post, I said, I used to sleep in my new shoes as a little girl. I have posted that probably 10 times, right, on Instagram before. And I had someone comment and say, oh my God, I used to sleep in my new shoes too. I thought I was the only one that did that. But here's the thing. She's been following me for 2 years.
And so she probably has seen the other posts, but maybe not read the other posts. Yes.
Exactly. So don't be afraid to repeat yourself. And the consistency piece of it, just plan ahead. You don't have to plan, you know, 90 days ahead. If you can, that's amazing. But just do a month at a time. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. And if you sit down and you really think about like, all right, so I've got a new product coming, or there's this holiday coming up, or I'm going to have a sale. If you sit down and plot those dates, you're going to fill your email calendar really quick.
Oh yeah. Inside my community, my labs program, I did a training. This was in August of last year, where in an hour, I sat down with them and helped them map out a whole year's worth of topics to talk about in their email. And we did wholesale and we did retail, because obviously wholesale is a different frequency and different topics and all that stuff. But I explained to them about the content pillars and then filling them in, and here are the different types of emails I want you to have, and create templates that you can reuse, and, you know, drop new text in and drop. And it was like so empowering for so many of them, because they have fear around the consistency, like you said. They also have fear around repeating themselves, like you said. They also have fear around, oh my gosh, this feels just overwhelming. And again, I'm not telling them to sit down and really write a whole year's worth of emails in an hour, but like, take it piece by piece so you can kind of map it out in your head of how you want to do it. And so I agree with you. Those are great strategies for everyone.
Yeah. And one other little tip. If you, let's say you're not really sure what you're going to send this week, or you had a plan and you didn't have time to get around to it, go back in your archive and find an email that performed really well and just resend it. Put a new subject line, and you can resend it to, you can resend it to everyone, but you could also just resend it to the people who didn't open it the first time, anyone who's joined your list since you sent that email. Yeah. Repurpose, repurpose, repurpose.
Okay. So that is a little trick I do on social media too. I do it with my email, but I do it with my social media too. If I'm just not feeling it and don't really have anything I want to plan or prepare, I go back to, I mean, I've been on Instagram since what, 2011 or 12 or something. So I look at my highest engagement posts and I just, you know, I'll switch out the image. I'll use the same caption. Like, let's not recreate the wheel here, guys, if we don't have to.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah. Cause what is it, like 4% of your people actually like see a post?
It's low. I don't know what the actual percent is, but yeah. And to your point too, you could put the same content in email, on Instagram, on Facebook, on your website, like, and still there's going to be people that are like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, they don't, yeah. It feels redundant to us because we're the ones pushing that type of stuff out into the world, but it's not redundant to our audience at all.
No. And funny, another little story that comes up. So my uncle, he's been in like retail sales forever, right? And mm-hmm. he used to run this shoe store. And they would put the same shoe out in multiple places on the floor because what they found is, you know, people like shoes generally are, it's like around the perimeter, right? Yeah. On shelving. And so people would walk by the shoe in the beginning and then pick it up the next time they passed it. And yeah. that's within just a few minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Of being in a store. So we're just not paying attention.
And in reality, there's so many distractions too, you know? Yeah. And so we do have to balance, we have to put our consumer hat on sometimes of like, okay, what would I be drawn to or not drawn to? And then we have to put our other hat on of like, okay, but I need to talk about my business. I need to talk about my products. If I'm not talking about them, nobody's going to purchase them. Yeah. And that's just the fact. All right. Well, what are you working on these days that you want to share with our audience? Anything coming out new or exciting that you're working on?
Yeah. For sure. So right now I just actually launched a group program this year, which we just started. I'm super excited about that. It's called a Mega Mind. So I was really excited when I came up with the name. I just thought I was so clever. Such a dork.
I like the alliteration.
And really I'm focused on podcast content right now. And I'm really excited for what's coming in 2021. And, you know, I think that a lot of people saw a lot of growth in 2020, which is amazing. And e-com, it's moving fast, right? So I'm excited to kind of support everyone on that journey.
That's amazing. I love that, Jessica. Well, thank you. Well, where can people find you online if they want to listen to your podcast or check out your programs?
You can find me at ecommercebadassery.com. And that's the name of my podcast. It's my handle on Instagram. It's all of the things. And I also have a little gift for your audience.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. If you go to ecommercebadassery.com/proof-to-product, you get access to my free resource library. Every freebie I've ever created, all in one place.
What? Well, thank you so much for that. We will be sure to include that in the show notes. That's very kind of you. We'll include that in the show notes as well as your link to your podcast and your website and all of those good things. Jessica, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to seeing you more around the clubhouse, as I've been calling it.
Yeah, I know. The clubhouse. It's house. Like the country club, but not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly.
Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Katie.
Okay, who else was nodding their head yes as they listened to Jessica talk? I certainly was over here. And wow, it was so kind of her to offer us access to her vault of resources. So we will make sure that that link is in our show notes so you can easily find it. Now, before I sign off, I wanted to remind you of a couple of key points. When people sign up for your email list, they want to hear from you. They have given you permission to email them. So I don't want you to be afraid of repeating yourself or sending too many emails. I don't want you to have that worry about bothering them. I hear that a lot. I don't want to bother people. You are not bothering them. Be genuine and thoughtful in your outreach, add value, and tell them why they would benefit from buying your product. When done right, emails can strengthen your relationships with your customers and increase your sales. If you guys are looking for more support, including email templates, strategy plans, and trainings on how to refresh or enhance your email marketing, join me inside of Proof to Product Labs. It's my 12-month group coaching program. Marketing is just one of the topics that we cover. We also talk about money and mindset, outsourcing, and more. Strategies and action steps that you need to strengthen your business foundation so you can continue growing in all the ways that you want to grow. So join us at prooftoproduct.com/labs to get access to all of that. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.